People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or desipeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. My name is Greg, and here with me is my friend and co-host, Larry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never heard you respond like that.
You haven't?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
That's who I am.
That's who I am.
It's essentially what you just told me. How are you today?
I'm good.
Yeah. Why so quiet and mellow? It's Sunday morning. Everybody wants some bright sunshine in their life, and here you are. Moping around this morning.
Not moping, just a lot on my mind.
Me too. Yeah. So you, as people who listen to this show regularly, we know there's at least one or two of you. We do this, we've been decided that we were going to do almost the whole month dedicated to mental illness, mental health awareness.
Correct, yeah.
And really working on that system and how we can help people who need the help to maybe alleviate some of the bigger problems we've been facing with these mass shootings and such, or at least better understanding of it.
Yeah.
We had two great shows on it. One was just us talking about different statistics and facts and where people should go. And then last week we had Kathy Forward on from NAMI, and
yeah,
she was fantastic.
She
was so really, I mean, gave us so much information. And next week we have a very special guest. Iram is going to join us, and she works in that field. And she's very eager to share a lot of what she's learned and studied and where it's going and how we can get better at it. And very excited to have her. But this week was going to be you and I talking about different aspects of mental health and mental illness and really some of the stigma attached to it. But what happened in the meantime, as it seems to be quite frequently for us,
it does seem to be that way.
We were thrown onto an alternate course for this week because I was, let me give you a quick little background, Larry. I was sitting on my couch on Sunday evening, I believe it was. And I don't know exactly what happened, but I went into somebody's Instagram story, a friend of mine, and she had this very, I guess you would say light Instagram story. I don't know if you're familiar with what they are, but they're just like 15-second videos that go on somebody's feed, and you could put anything you want in this video, in this story. So one of her stories started about like, hey guys, the Amazon is burning and no one seems to care. And I was like, what the hell is she talking about? What does this mean? So as I went along, she started to talk more about what was happening and how there was this huge fire happening in the world's biggest rainforest in the Amazon, which is really 20% of our oxygen. I think it was, I don't remember what the number was, was it 3 million plant and animal species? It is really one of the most important places. They call it the Earth's lungs, to give you an idea of how important it is. And meanwhile, this is having its biggest wildfire ever, and at least in our known history. Mm-hmm. And no one knew about it. How is it possible that this huge ecosystem is on fire and no one was talking about it on our news, on all of our, you know, wonderful political news networks here, CNN, Fox News, CNBC, all of them were talking about the latest,
trashing,
you know,
people.
Yeah, the latest Trump story, the latest like political debate, whatever it is.
Crap,
and meanwhile, one of the most important places on our planet is engulfed in flames. It freaked me out. And then I started reading all these statistics that she was putting up, and it really got me. It got me really hard. And I was like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in this week, and Larry and I should audible from mental awareness, mental health awareness, and mental illness. And we should talk about this and how, what we do to help. We don't know. I've read things. I have ideas. I have things I can tell you about, but I don't know yet exactly what the best course of action for people like us would be. But we're going to talk through those things today. So hopefully we can make better decisions moving forward and we can prevent things like this maybe the next time. Does that make sense?
It does.
That's basically what the show is going to become. So one of the things that I did was when she was doing her stories, I screenshotted a few things, right? And when I read through some of them, it was very jarring. But let me give you something. Where is it here? Maybe I should. I should have told you that. I should have waited a second before I gave you that, because I would have to search for it a little bit. I don't think you're ready to carry this one. Here we go. So, as an emergency response, these are some of the things you could do. As an emergency response, donate to frontline Amazon work groups working to defend the forest, because they're already there. They know what's needed. They're going to be mostly plugged into what is necessary right now. Consider becoming a regular supporter of the Rainforest Alliance's community forestry initiatives across the world's most vulnerable tropical forests, including the Amazon. This approach is by far the most effective defense against deforestation and natural forest fires, but it requires deep, long-term collaboration between the communities and the public and the private sectors. Stay on top of the story. Keep sharing posts, tagging news agencies and influencers. That's something small anybody can do. If you are just on social media, you have a lot of followers. Let people know that if you keep sharing the information, people will learn more. Maybe they take action. Be a conscious consumer, taking care to support companies committed to responsible supply chains. Eliminate or reduce consumption of beef. Cattle ranching is one of the primary drivers of the deforestation and the Amazon. And when the election comes, vote for leaders who understand the urgency of our climate crisis, yada, yada, yada. I do believe there's some truth in that as well, believe it or not, because I think it's something that I know on the conservative side of things, it's never really, even my father to this day is like, you know, I think it's a problem, but I don't think it's as bad as the news makes us believe it is. I think with that type of and I don't think my dad really means, he's 73, and I don't think he's really thinking of it the same way maybe somebody who's 22 is thinking of it, because they're going to be here a lot longer, and it is something to be concerned about. But that doesn't mean I'm blaming him. I just think that a lot of times conservative leaders deflect the importance of it because there's other issues. Again, there's a million things we can look at and say, well, you know, this side thinks this side thinks that. The bottom line is, I'm just want to go by facts. Really, that's what I care about right now. It's like, let's just talk about facts. What are the things that we can do right now? When you hear this, Larry, what do you think? What goes through your mind when you think of the Amazon and what's happening there and what can we do and all that?
Well, I mean, it's a little off subject. I mean, it is, but it isn't. I get things like this across my emails every day.
Right.
From Greenpeace especially. But I haven't seen anything about it in my email.
In other words, like when I mentioned it to you this morning, you were like, I didn't even know. But you didn't seem like you had much of an idea. Is that correct?
Right.
So I think that's sort of my thing, is that you end up, especially with the news now, we end up finding ourselves looking into things that we normally wouldn't know about, right? Because there's so much out there, so much information. And a lot of times we get nervous over things, thinking like this is a big deal. And then you find out they're sort of a regular occurrence, but you never really heard about it in the past, right?
You're talking about fires?
In general, I read that these forest fires in the rainforest are common.
Yeah, I saw that.
It's not that they're not normal. The thing is that these shouldn't be happening at this magnitude, and we should be better suited to deal with these things, because the rainforest is damp and moist. It shouldn't be lit up with a strike of lightning, but it happens. It does happen, just never really to this magnitude.
Well, that's true, but look at Washington and Oregon, though. I mean, they're very wet, and one of the wettest places if not in the country, in the world.
Right.
Parts of Washington for sure, and they get them.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They get them in the wintertime too, but because of lightning. So things happen. So, I'm thinking flora and fauna could be somewhat flammable. It seems kind of odd in that kind of an environment, but it is. In the Pacific Northwest, we have pine trees, spruce trees. The pitch is extremely flammable. Those trees blow up. So there could be some kind of plant life that is like that.
Right.
Similar.
Right.
And that can continue. But I was thinking because we never hear about forest fires in the Amazon, but we hear about deforestation in the Amazon.
Right.
Quite often. But I was thinking in this instance, in this case, because it seems to be so huge, this fire, because they've got like a cloud smoke cover in São Paulo, 2,000 kilometers away.
Right.
That's almost 2,000 miles away.
Yeah. And I mean, when I heard that, it was like they were showing footage of the city and it looked like a black cloud was just hanging. It was nothing. And that's like, imagine, so it's 2,000 kilometers. So I would say that's what, about 1,000, it's about 1,000 miles?
No, I think it's more than that.
More than that, like 12 or something, whatever.
Something
it is.
Like that.
So somebody said it's almost similar to like the equivalent of from here to Florida, say, if we had a fire here that was actually affecting Florida, or even Texas is far. Like if we were our fires last year, if it affected Texas, that would be far, right? Mm-hmm. So thinking of it in that way, but the number that scared me is the number of fires in Brazil are 80% higher in 2018 than last year. And more than half of those are in the Amazon region. That's not normal. 80%. You would think there's always going to be a growth. We have more people, maybe 10%, 20%. And then they're considering deploying troops to go in and fight the fire because they're figuring if they can't, they're not going to stop it. They're not going to put it out, but they got to figure out ways they could probably slow it down more than anything. So they're saying that it's literally choking the whole entire portion of the country. You can't even be there. It's an international crisis. It's heartbreaking, but it's a legitimate crisis that we're in. This isn't a situation where you say like, it'll take care of itself. Like this is, the rainforest is in some great danger. When you see the actual statistics of what the rainforest means and how important the rainforest is,
it's vital. It's
horrific what's happening right now.
Yeah, it's vital to our life.
The Earth's lungs is what it's been called, to give you an idea.
It's hard for me to breathe. You talking about it even.
Yeah. So Brazil's Space Research Center said it had detected 39,601 fires this year in the Amazon. That's the largest rainforest. 60% of the Amazon is in Brazil. There are also blazes in Brazil outside the Amazon. In all of Brazil, they detected more than 75,000 fires so far this year, which is the highest number since it's been recorded. How did they start? They believe it was lightning. Old growth rainforest, but there's a 79% increase, as I said. Deforestation is always a cause for concern. Last year, the world lost about 30 million acres of tree cover, including 8.9 million acres of primary rainforest, the size of Belgium.
Stupidity.
It is. Deforestation is, I think, is a very, very concerning thing to me.
It is.
Brazil's part of the Amazon lost more than 1,330 square miles of rainforest cover in the first half of 2019, a 39% increase over the same period last year. This has nothing to do with the fire now. This is before the fire even happened. So to give you an idea of the magnitude. It's known as the lungs because of its vast forests releasing oxygen and store carbon dioxide, a heat-trapping gas that is a major cause for global warming. If enough rainforest is lost and can't be restored, the area will become savanna, which doesn't store as much carbon and would mean a reduction in the planet's lung capacity. When you see these pictures right now of like Rondônia, Brazil, which is not very close, but it's, I guess, closer than, say, São Paulo, it looks like a low fog when you're driving and you can't see like 10 feet in front of you is what the street looks like. You can't see anything in this fog. Obviously, people are saying that most of this is climate change, and that's the cause of this. Drier, you know, the cattle ranchers and such. That's where it goes and turns into a political play, right? Because you start talking, I think right now the focus shouldn't be what caused it, or like maybe like let's not focus on what we did wrong. It's like right now we should be focusing on what do we do to
make it right,
reverse it, or at least start turning the corner. I don't know what that is. That's the problem with our political system, is that it always becomes a political argument as opposed to a logistical or life based decision making. We're living here. If we see things to be different than they used to be, there's probably a good reason why that is, right? We don't need anybody to tell us that things, I don't care who you are and what your beliefs are. It doesn't take a lot to understand that if you were alive 10 years ago as an adult, you saw things were not quite as bad with fires, weather, destructive weather in this world. The ice caps are melting. We know they are. We see the actual overhead of what it looks like now and what it looked like 10, 20, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we can't deny what's happening. We can only deny what's going to happen, or we can deny what we believe got us there. But the reality is the reality. And that's what really bothers me, is that when I hear people say, like the president of Brazil say, that or the prime minister, I don't know if he's the president, right? Saying that he thinks it's because of a political thing, because of the
GMO.
GMO just asked for money for the rainforest, and he thinks they were the ones who did this to set Brazil back, which is just crazy. And then he was saying there was this conspiracy theory now about this like original tribe that lives in the Amazon, and they just won a court case about the deforestation of that area. And they showed them in court, like celebrating, and they're very primitive beings. Right. You know, they don't have, they look like you would see back in the old tribes back in the, you know, prehistoric times. And they live a very simple life. And they were in court fighting and they won. And this happened to be 3 days before the forest fires started. So now people think that it might have been the president's answer to say, like, you know what, you won the case and we're going to, you know, we're going to play back against you. Was Why would anybody do that?
I got to stop you for a second. Is it GMO or is it GFO, a government-funded organization?
It might GFO. Be GFO, but I don't remember.
But that, it didn't, yeah, but I think that would be, GMO is our food thing.
Yeah.
Genetically modified organisms?
I'm trying to find it in here, and I can't seem to find the article about it.
We're really not that bad, people. We're really, it's just, I think we, it, I mean, we're not that ignorant.
No, but I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't know this otherwise. And we heard him mention it. We were watching that piece
earlier.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think that's what he said, though. We heard it on the news.
Yeah. I mean, well, there, you know, the bigger problem here is when you start to really, I don't need to tell you everything. Like, I don't need to sit here and give you all the details. But if you start looking into just different statistics about the rainforest, this to me is the most important thing.
It is.
When you see what the Amazon rainforest is and what it means to us.
What it provides for our survival.
Yes.
This is what it comes down to.
It's so, so crazy. I'm going to try and see here. And unique facts. It's 1.2 billion acres. That's hard to even fathom. With parts located in 9 nations, Brazil being the biggest part of that, right? That's crazy. 1.2 billion acres.
Look how big 2.5 acres.
Insane. The region is home to 2.5 million insect species, tens of thousands of plants, some 2,000 birds and mammals. The diversity of the plant species is the highest on Earth, with some experts estimating that 1 square kilometer may contain over 75,000 types of trees and 150,000 species of higher plants.
Man.
1 square kilometer of the Amazon can contain about 90,000 tons of living plants. All the birds in the world live in, I'm sorry, one in five of all the birds in the world live in the rainforest of the Amazon. To date, 438,000 estimated species of plants of economic and social interest have been registered in the region. Most of our medicine comes from the plants in the Amazon or in rainforest. They're saying there could be cures to diseases we don't even know about that we haven't gotten to. 10% of the rainforest in the Amazon we haven't ever gotten to. Yeah. We can't get there physically because of the way the land is. Mm-hmm. So there could be the cure to cancer or to some, you know, mental illness. Who knows? That could be there that we haven't gotten to yet that might never get to because of this. You know, I mean, again,
it's almost like a different planet when you think about it.
It really is, man. And that's sort of a crazy thought. The biodiversity there is just so, so important. So what happens is, you know, when you talk about deforestation, it's a common thing, right? People think we need more land. We need more areas for cattle to graze. But the meat issue we have is a big one because there's more people than ever. And then when you have more people, you have more people eating meat, our resources start to decline. Then we need more area to put more cattle so that we can have more people to feed, you know? Yeah. So there was this theory a while back that like they were going to try and do these things in certain countries and states where it's like meatless Mondays, like people just don't eat meat on Mondays for whatever, just really to sustain, not so much for any kind of political or social reasoning, more just we need to sustain our food. And if we all cut it out for one day a week, that should hold us for another. You know what I mean? Like, and I get that.
Yeah, and that would be a huge amount of food.
It would be. I mean, even if all of us like kind of made this effort of and look, I'm not a vegan. I'm not even a vegetarian, but I try to be mindful. And I try, when I think of it, I'm always like, you know what? I could just have some lentils tonight, or I'll have lentils and pasta, or rice.
These are not good for you.
Stop it. I don't even want to hear you. I need the protein. Yeah, so,
you do.
I will think of those things. I'll be like, I'm gonna have some eat vegetables fish with this tonight. Or but fish is meat, Larry. That's
no, it's not meat.
It is. It's still a.
It is not meat.
But it
meat is meat.
It is, but I'm just telling you, it's considered protein, and it's
flesh,
not,
but it's not meat.
It's a living thing. So,
yes, it is.
And and we're probably closer to cleaning out our supply of fish than even meat.
Probably.
Because people are eating fish at an alarmingly high rate these days. Back in the day, there was a good portion of
society. Nobody even wanted to eat fish.
And it became very popular.
It did.
But anyway, so I get so discouraged sometimes when I wake up in the morning and I watch the news.
I can tell when I walk in and look at your face, I always know.
I just felt like there's only one thing I can do right now, and the best thing would be I have a microphone.
Yep.
I have this guy who comes in every now and then and talks with me.
Well, listen to him. Listen to him talk, and you see why?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's no secret. You've got the gift of gab, my friend.
Oh, goodness
gracious. But it's really good. I love listening to you. And I always get educated.
I learn from you too. Unbelievably, I do.
It is.
And most of the important stuff comes from you on the show. I just give you the
opportunity. You're just trying to be nice.
I give you the moments for poignancy.
Well, thank you for that.
Just jump in and say what you get. Yeah. I end up just
I am the, what you call me, the conscience of the show.
It is. You are the conscience of the show. And it really doesn't say much for our show, I guess.
It's okay.
It's one thing.
It's impressive. I
never mentioned
that
part.
The term is impressive.
Yeah. So what I always say to people is like, I don't have really the ability or the money to really make a difference on a big scale. Mm. I don't think anybody really does. You know, one person
not in something like this.
One person can't make the whole difference, but one person is definitely a sum of its parts.
True.
And if we have one person that turns into 10 today, if 10 people listening to this radio show have thought, I'm going to do something, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Whatever their thing is. Mine was doing this show and talking about it, and maybe getting involved in eating less meat, maybe finding out an organization that's working in the Amazon. That's where I'm starting. What if somebody else does the same thing or a little more? Then we've done our job.
So if you were to go on, and of course everybody can do this, go on Google and say, help Amazon. Just something that simple. Help Amazon and watch what comes up.
I just did it, right? Yep. Help Amazon. They're going to probably think it's probably like Amazon, you know, Prime. Of course, that's what came out.
Oh, is that
customer service at Amazon Prime. I'm not even kidding.
Help
Amazon Rainforest.
Yes,
let's do that.
There you go.
Not the Rainforest Cafe, the restaurant. They don't need help. 7 steps you can take. Here it is. The first thing. It literally is the first 7 steps you can take to help save the Amazon and the world's rainforest. Here it is. Reduce your paper and wood consumption. Reduce your oil consumption. Reduce your beef consumption. Hold businesses accountable. Invest in rainforest communities. Support the grassroots. Oh, this is interesting. Home Depot, the single largest retailer of lumber in the world, agreed to phase out its sales of old growth wood. It was a huge victory. I didn't know that. And 7 is Support Rainforest Action Network, which is an effective, hardworking organization. They launched a nationwide boycott of Burger King back in like 85, which was importing cheap beef from rainforest countries. 2 years later, Burger King canceled its beef contracts and agreed to stop doing it. That's a huge deal because Burger King's massive. You got to give them credit when they do things like that and recognize the error of their ways. Then they led a global consumer boycott against Mitsubishi, which resulted in Mitsubishi America and Mitsubishi Electric committing to unprecedented environmental reviews of their business activities. Most recently, they, as a result of a 2-year campaign led by RAND, the nation's top home improvement retailers and largest home builders agreed to phase out sale and use of wood from Earth's endangered forests. None of these victories would have been possible without RAND. You can join RAND online. Just go search RAN, all capitals. They are the Rainforest Action Network. Support them. That might be the way to start because it seems like they're going to be focused exclusively on those things.
Because they're already set up, so they know right what to do and where to go to get it done.
And that's a big deal because we kind of need, as people, to cut through all the noise.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many organizations. Which are the legit ones? Which one's going to really have their best interests, our best interests at heart? Most of the time, it's these groups like this that are so focused on those things, they know every detail of what needs to be handled.
Yep.
I always worry about putting my time and resources into the wrong things.
Yeah.
You know, because then what good is it that I've taken this step? I am helping somebody who, you know, I'm helping an organization that's not really doing what they say they're going to do. It's always skeptical with that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it should be that way, though. You need to, you know, you need to do your research, find out who's really legit.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So with that said, we got about 5 minutes left. I think we've covered a bit of a wide range here with the Amazon rainforest, the fire. Pay attention to the news. I would say the biggest thing right now would be follow, if you're on social media, which almost everybody is, share information, because there are a lot of people, like I mentioned it to you today, and you weren't plugged into the social media stuff this week. You've been working and such. I know there are a lot of people that just don't know what's going on. And when I mention it to them, they're like, what are you talking about? The fact that people are still asking this question, it's been almost a week, is concerning.
Because that is concerning.
If this was happening, you remember the Notre Dame fire in back a couple months ago? It was all anybody was talking about. It was on the news. It was covering it second by second.
It was an outrage.
And it was one historic landmark. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge 1 billion acre territory we're talking about. So it's obviously something we should know about.
Yeah,
that's burning.
And did you know that this fire will change our weather?
Absolutely.
This will change our weather this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. And also, when you think of, they said that one of the prime ways that the world could end is if like a major earthquake happens in our region, right? The biggest of the big, like Yellowstone or something. Eventually what would happen would be the fires that would come from it and all the different would end up covering the sky and it would spread across the country.
Another ice age.
It would eventually spread across. We'd all be endangered, you know, because of it. Not just people in America or in this region.
It would be global.
It would spread. It would just be a slow decay. So this, if it doesn't get controlled, can turn into that because of the size of the region.
A portion of it anyway. So it is just like when we have a lot of volcanic eruptions. Mm-hmm. They say, you know, it changes the weather pattern. Mm-hmm. It does, because ice forms on those particulates.
Right.
In the atmosphere.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it's a good point. Mm-hmm. So, in any case, we want to thank everybody for tuning into the show this week. And, of course, anybody who's been with us for this whole time, we're coming up on our, believe it or not, our fifth year.
It is.
Fifth year.
Yeah, in November.
In a couple of months.
My gosh.
So it's obvious that we've been doing this a while, and we've kind of figured out that what we need to be doing and what we need to focus on. So thank you for taking the journey with us and listening.
And nobody's called for us to get off the air.
Yeah, I mean, well, they might. We just wouldn't tell anybody.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't say anything.
And then next week, we're going to have a guest. We're going to talk more.
A continuation of what we've been talking about.
Mental illness, mental health awareness, stigma involved, what we can do to help our loved ones, what we can do to help the community, how we can prevent these terrible mass shootings. And when so many of these cases were simply an overlooked human being who didn't get the proper attention they probably should have needed in a lot of cases. And they should have been, we should have been aware of the danger because of maybe getting in earlier and intervening in their lives.
Yeah.
If that's something we could do, we want to do it. So we're going to talk about those things next week. We hope you join us for that. Anything you want to say to close out the show, Larry?
No, just, just go online and see what you can do to help out the fire situation in Brazil and, help the rainforest.
And you have yourself a good rest of your weekend.
I will, and you too.
Have yourself a good week. And then next week, I'm looking forward to doing the show. It should be fun.
I think so. It usually is.
It usually is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining us, brother. And we'll be back again next week, another edition of People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM.